Good to be here, isn't it? Lord Jesus, we're just thankful, Father, again, that we can come and gather here. We just want to put our hearts to you and let you know that we are so grateful, Father, that we have this hope, this faith, this assurance, Lord Jesus, that it's all in control, that you have everything working out according to your plan. Lord Jesus, so many times we get in situations we don't understand and things seem not to be working right, but Lord Jesus, we just stand steady, Lord, and just let you take control, Father. And we get through it and we look back and say, oh, you had it all under control the whole time, Lord. So now, Lord Jesus, you have this service under control. We ask that you would just take the gift that you've given me to speak, take the gifts that you've given each person to hear, Lord, and anoint them by your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that when you speak, each one of us could hear your voice, Lord, and recognize what it is. Recognize that you talking to us, Lord, that you would come here at this time, this little assembly here, Lord Jesus, and you would condescend to come down and talk to us in a way, Lord Jesus, that only you can do, so we recognize the voice. And you said, my sheep know my voice, Lord, so we're waiting to hear for that this morning, Lord. Meet all our needs, Lord. Be with the ones who couldn't be here this morning, Lord. Lord, strengthen them. Bless them, Lord. Be merciful. We just want to give you the honor and glory and the thanks and the gratitude. And, oh, Father, just all we are, we want to pour it out to you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, we're just going to read one little verse there and be seated. And then we'll turn to Romans 10 and Hebrews 4. Genesis 1 and 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, and that's all it took. Maybe seated. If you want to turn your Bible, we also want to read a couple more places. If you want to turn to Romans 10, I'm going to read a few verses there. Then we'll also read out of Hebrews 4. Romans 10, we're going to start at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. What he's saying is, it's not our job to go out and produce Christ in our own abilities. It's not our job to go out and see how holy we can live. It's not our job to go out and see, you know, how much of a Christian we can be and to manufacture Christianity and all this. It's not our job to pull Christ down from heaven or up from the deep or whatever. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So the word is nigh thee, it's already in your mouth. The word is in your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's not about going out and working as hard as you can to produce Christianity. It's about confessing with your mouth whatever is in your heart. It's got to be in your heart first, brother and sister. And if it's not there, confess with your mouth until it is in your heart. All right? Let's turn one more place, Hebrews 4. Hebrews 3, not 4. Hebrews 3, verse 18. And it says, and to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right. This morning, I'm not sure exactly how this is going to go.
Since the fall in Eden, man has tried to find a way back to God, to regain fellowship with God. They've done everything you can imagine. They've tried and tried all the way from the beginning when Adam tried to use fig leaves to get back. It shows mankind's attempts, their desire, their longing to be back with God, and man trying in his own ability to get back. By his own ability, his own thoughts, his own... It's just reasonable that if I cover up this part of me, that sin, then surely God will set me back. If I can just cover up this sin that I've done, surely by living good in another area, surely God will accept me back. It's called religion. And Satan has been the most religious among us. And Satan has been attempting this whole time to help us get back to God. Because Satan knows that if he can influence our religion, we ain't getting back to God. And so Satan, in every age, all the way ever since the fall, has been inserting his own influence into man's religion. Because Satan knows that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that terrifies Satan, because he knows the original was the spoken word, and he knows it's going to get back to the original, which is the spoken word. And that is where you and I are today, brother and sister. We are at the time when it's going to be simply the spoken word and nothing else. Nothing else. And so everything else that we try to throw in there, everything else we add to it, just recognize that is Satan influencing your religion. It's going to be the word only. It's not the word plus shouting. It's not the word plus speaking in tongues. It's not the word plus having a sensation. It's not the word plus being emotional. It's not the word plus going to a specific church. It's not the word plus believing a certain way and believing this that way and knowing that this and whatever else and knowing the prophet. It's not the word plus. It's just the word. And that just tears a human being up. Because we want to add to it. Why? Why would you want to add to the word? Lack of confidence in the word. That's all it is. Now, I believe what you're preaching, Brother Phil, and I believe that, but you know, when I get the Holy Ghost, I need to have a sensation with it to know that I have it. You're adding to it. See, that's the point. That's the thing that, you know, I believe the message, but I got to go to this church or that church or whatever because I believe what this person says or this person knew the prophet. You know, for a while there, you had to have a pastor who had known the prophet. He only listened to preachers who had been with the prophet. They're getting rare. They're dying off. What are you going to do now? It's always about the prophet. Why do people need a prophet? Because it's something tangible. It's something they can touch with this realm. Why do they have to have a prophet? Because that's where they saw Christ was in a prophet. And they recognized Christ. So they need another prophet. They had the message plus the prophet. I'm gonna call this message this morning the tortoise and the hare. You all know the story. Tennessee terms, it should be called the turtle and the rabbit. We got turtles and rabbits. Tortoise and the hare, two brothers. They only go to church one night, message church, they both got saved. Gave the heart to the Lord. Anointed, felt the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They come out of there, boy, they were on fire. Tortoise comes out. He said, "Well, praise God. We got a church to go to. God save me. I'm going on with the word." The rabbit hare comes out. He says, "Oh, hallelujah." And he just got all kinds of energy and he's just going all over because he's so emotional. And he's got all kinds of human ability. He can outrun the turtle 10 to 1. And so he said, oh my goodness, I got to start getting involved in church. I'm going to start singing specials. I'm going to start helping the pastor lead the church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to study. I'm going to read. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I can't wait. Let's go. And whoosh, down the road he goes as hard as he can go. And here's the turtle just walking along. I'm on my way to heaven. The journey gets sweeter every day. 3 months later, he comes upon the rabbit. The rabbit's sitting there beside the road. Said, hey, I ain't seen your church the last 2 weeks. What's going on? I'm just discouraged. What do you mean? I'm just discouraged. I can't live this. I'm trying so hard and I can't live good enough. He said, well, come on, let's go. Keep going. Let's get back in church. Okay. He comes back to church. Woohoo! He has a wonderful service. Oh my goodness, he got anointed. Oh my goodness, watch him run. A few months later. Hey, Mr. Rabbit, I ain't seen you in church. You know, I'm just discouraged. I went to church the last 3 times, didn't feel anything. And then the pastor started getting on my case. Come on back to church. Okay, I'll be back. No, I'm still a believer. Don't get me wrong. I'm still a believer. I'll just be back. I just got to get my head on straight. Out of church? You're going to get your head on straight out of church. When I get back my head on straight, I come back to church. Well, you might as well go beat your head on a wall, brother and sister. That's what church is for, is to get your head on straight. So he comes back. Woo-hoo! I'm back in church. Woo-hoo! Watch me go. Come on, turtle, keep up with me. And just calm down. Yeah, we got to get, the rapture's coming. We got to hurry up and get ready because the rapture's almost here. We got to, come on, try harder. Just calm down, Mr. Rabbit. Right here's the road. We're on the right road. Keep going. Well, you're just too slow for me. Whoosh, down the road he goes. Two months later, he's out of church. He calls up. You don't see him for a while. He calls up Mr. Turtle, and he's excited. Oh, my goodness. I went and visited another church. You got to come to this church. You have never heard preaching like this before. This pastor, he got up and he just blew me out of my seat. Oh, hallelujah. And let me tell you what, afterwards we sat down and I talked to him, just him and me, for an hour and a half. He took me to dinner. Jay Alexander's, we had a wonderful time. And he sat there and he told me, I need you in my church. Your abilities is exactly what we need. You can support me. And you know what? I can use your help in dealing with some of the situations in my church. Please come to my church. Brother, you got to come to this church. You ain't never heard anything like this before. Oh, I think I'm just going to stay where God put me. Oh, you ain't going to make the rapture. Three months later, he runs into a Walmart. Down, plotting a little. Hey, how's that church going? And it didn't work out. What do you mean? All he wanted was an affair with my wife. I'm not stretching things here, folks. So he said, well, why don't you come back to our church? We're still going on. All right, I'll come back. But you know, he comes back this time. But Rabbit noticed he doesn't actually get in on the path. He was walking along beside it. Oh, I'm a church. Yeah. But you're no longer running the race. You come and you sit and you stare. And you walk along the path. Because you know what you have to do to get back to Christ? You got to go all the way back where you got off the path. You can't just jump over. Hey, I'm back on the road. No, you got to go all the way back and get on there and then catch up. That's why it's terrifying, as close as we are to the rapture, and seeing people who are not serving God. Because this character that's being molded in you right now is not happening in them. This faith that becomes, like we picked Thursday night, it becomes an automatic thing. It's not happening in them. They're going to run out of time. Your faith becomes an unconscious, a natural, just an automatic. Look, when Paul, they got a shipwreck, right? The shipwrecked, he said, we're all going to be saved. They got on the island. Paul knew they're all going to be saved. God had showed them. They got, so there's cold, they're freezing, they build a fire. And Paul grabs all these the sticks of wood, he goes to throw it on the fire, and a snake comes out of that extremely poisonous snake and bites him on the arm. You know what Paul does? Oh my goodness, I thought I was going to live and I'm going to die. He said, oh man, call the pastor because we just had something blow up in my life. I don't know how to deal with this. Oh my goodness, I gotta call someone to tell them. Oh, hey, look, I just got bit by a snake. What do you think is gonna happen? He said, wipe that off and keep moving. It was automatic. He knew he had a need of it. He knew what God had showed him. He said, this ain't nothing. Satan comes and attacks you with something. We fall apart. What did you say? Get off of me. Brother, sister, you're coming to that point where every little thing don't tear you up anymore because you know who you are. You know what God has done for you. And it just becomes like, hey, I need prayer. God, I just need this. Just take care of this, right? And go on about your business. Brother Branham said something like this. He said, if you're frying, let me just paraphrase. He said something like, if you're frying, right, cooking on your stove, and grease popped up and got on you, he said, if you ignore it, it won't hurt you. But you know what jumps in before we can ignore it? Fear. Oh my goodness, that's going to hurt. You're right, it is. Because let me tell you something. If then that snake bit Paul, and Paul said, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I'm going to die. He would have died. But his faith was to such a point, brother and sister, it was just like, this is not going to bother me. That's what's going to put you in the rapture. He said, well, I don't have that faith. Well, keep going. You'll get there. Be that turtle who just keeps steadily walking down the road and said, well, I got to try this out. I got to get the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to try real hard. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And just next thing you know, you're just sitting on the sideline. Been there many times. Just get on there and keep going. Here's the problem that people have. We do not have confidence that the word is going to have the effect that God said it will. That's what it is all about. We don't believe. It's called unbelief. We don't believe. We don't have confidence. It's just simply hearing the word, believing it, and then whatever is in your heart, confess that with your mouth. There we get in trouble, don't we? You know you're born again. You know that you've been sealed into the body of Christ. What greater thing could you ask for? But when something goes wrong, what do? Running our mouth. Y'all seen those Charlie Brown movies, right? Wah, 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 wah. And that's all it is. It don't make any sense because it is not the word of God, but we're going to run our mouth because we have lack of confidence that God's going to take care of it. It's what it is. Why couldn't the children of Israel enter into their rest? Because of unbelief, no matter what. God had said, I am going to put you there. That's the very reason I have brought you out of Egypt, is to put you in your rest. But when they got there, they said, oh, we can't do it. It's unbelief, it's sin. God has said, I will put you in a rapture. You will get a body change. Man, when something comes up, what do? We start running our mouth with something besides faith. Why? Because Satan is injecting his word into our religion. And we start saying things that are not the word of God. We start running our mouth about this and running our mouth about that instead of sitting there and waiting and letting God's word have the effect. When God speaks to you, I'm not talking about the minister. When God speaks to you, if you will take that word and leave it alone and let it grow, brother and sister, it will. It is guaranteed to produce Christ. It has to. But see, here's the other problem we have. Satan is very deceptive. And we say, yes, he gets into the word and he twists it and we have all these camps and we have all this belief and that. No, he's much more deceptive than that. He's much more deceptive than just attacking us through religion. You know one of his most deceptive things he has done in this age? He has put us on fast forward instant gratification. We do everything 100 mile an hour. Hungry? Fast food. You're at home, microwave it. You want to get in the relationship? Match.com. Find the Mr. Perfect, Miss Perfect. Right? It's true. I will get you what you want right now. And we have been so acclimated to that. Our culture is such a way that as soon as something doesn't go exactly right, what do? We blow up. We have a meltdown. We have some kind of problem because I can't do this right now. And what has Satan done? He's trained us to believe and to live in that atmosphere. And God says, I don't work that way. And it is so against our normal way of living, the way we think. Look at the commercials and TV and all. It's just one image, bam, 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 and you can barely see it, and you flash to the next and the next, and you get your mind thinking so fast, 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 fast. No wonder our kids are being raised with all kind of mental illness. He's training us to be ADD. Attention deficit, you cannot think of something. You cannot keep one thought in mind. You jump from one thing to the other. You can't keep one subject. You always think about something else. Here and here and here and here. We're all affected by that. He's training us to be that way. Why? Because he just wants us to go fast? Of course not. Because he wants us not to go God's way. Because God spoke to me 3 weeks ago and it ain't happened yet, so I better go get prayed for again. Ain't that right? How many of you have come to the altar to be prayed for and it didn't happen within the first 2 or 3 months and you came back up again and then you came back up again and then you came back up again? Why? Because God's not moving fast enough for us. There is a deception that we don't even recognize a lot of times. I'm traveling in warp speed. I'm trying to get everything done for the rapture. And we got to hurry up. We got to get this done. We got to get that done. And you got to get holy enough. You got to do this. And God's saying, would you just settle down? We got a kid here at this church. He does everything in warp drive. He'll run the aisle. He'll do all this kind of stuff. He's a kid. He's 2 years old. What do you think? Well, when he grows up and matures, he'll calm down. He might not. Look at his daddy. But that's the way it is. As we grow in Christ, brother and sister, we need to calm down, enter into a rest. It's a rest. God has said it. He will bring it to pass. How do you know? Because he's done everything else up here and I can see the effect of it. He's going to continue the work that he started. He promised to. Amen. Boy, that's good. Amen. Just give him time. Well, he promised me healing of this 6 months ago and I don't see any healing. Abraham seed? Tell you what, once you've gone 25 years on that word and he hasn't done it, why don't you come and talk to me? I'm going to say, have you heard of Noah? You still got 95 years to go to get to Noah's. Did God say it? Mm-hmm. Then where's the unbelief coming? Because Satan is influencing us to have no patience. Yesterday I had a really good experience. I was going out to the Langleys. Some of you know the Langleys. My sister had a birthday. We're going to have a party out there. And so she had a bunch of her family over. She said, try to be here by noon. So I left my house at 10:30. I got up early, ran, got everything done. Wanted to make sure I'm not late. Got left my house at 10:30. At 3:15, which is like 4 hours and 45 minutes later, I finally got off the exit at 2:01. I never even made it to Bellevue. For about 4 hours, I sat and I went 2 miles in 4 hours. That was fun. You should have seen the people around me. You know what I could do? I could just know that somewhere up ahead of me, where I can't see, someone is clearing the road. And sooner or later, it's going to be cleared, and I'm going to get through. It was too late to go to the Langleys by that time, but I finally did get through. Obviously, I'm here. I'm just not still on traffic. And that's the way it is sometimes when there's some roadblock, there's something in our way. And he said, God, I got this problem. God, I got this problem. He said, I'm clearing it. You know what people are doing? They're jumping off on the shoulder and buzzing down, trying to get to the front of the line so they could wait up there. People are getting out and blocking traffic from getting through. Right in front of me, this guy, this car is coming, so he pulled over. Come up there behind him, and I was right there, and the guy was, man, he was upset. He was impatient. He was like, ugh. All this, right? And so the cars moved a little, and he whipped right between me and that guy, got up beside him, and they rolled their windows down, and they had an argument, yelling at each other. And then they got in line, and they kept in the same line, just like, that accomplished a lot, didn't it? All your arguing and all your fussing, and yet you get right back in line, and you keep going in the same line like everybody else. Ain't that the way we are? Something comes up, we get tore up, we argue and fuss, and then we get right back in line, and we just keep going. Come along, Mr. Turtle, let's keep walking. The rabbit's running around, he's getting off of here. Well, I can find a shortcut over here. I can go over here. You got to get this. You got to get this anointed. You got to do this. And you're running all around. And then you get back right in line with the turtle and say, okay, here we go. Isn't it? I'm as guilty as anybody. Got to get this trouble. Got to get this fixed. You know what you have to know? You have to know that somewhere up ahead, someone's clearing your blockage. Oh my. Whenever I get in a trial, I know I'm going to have to preach on it. Slow down, folks. Let me tell you what. You're going to get to a point where you travel like a thought. That's when we can go fast. Yeah, because then if I want to go to the Langleys, I'm there. There's all kinds of positives, isn't there? Satan wants us to operate in patience. He wants us to look at the obstacles in the way. He does not want us to take God at his word and sit there and allow God to make it happen. But God operates according to his word is sowing and reaping. You sow the word, you reap the harvest. And whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Let me read a quote here. They that have the Spirit of God wait for these things. And when they see those things, they believe those things. What are those things? It's the Word made manifest. They know the Word has been spoken for the age. When they see it happen, they believe it. And it's very simple, and it's never the way you would expect it to happen. How many expected the church to look like this? 20 years ago, who had thought that this was what this church would look like? Who had thought this is what the Bride of Christ would look like? Boy, I thought we'd have churches just thronged with the believers, and we'd just be like having these amazing services where people are just being healed left and right. And it's true, they are. But it's done in such a simple way, so understated that people don't even recognize it a lot of the times. I told you about finding those keys up on that mountain. I said, well, that was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. And yet it's so understated. It's not a great big fanfare, a great big thing. And God's doing these kind of things all over the place. Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. All the Father has given me, and he is the word, they will come to me. He said, they wait on the Lord, waiting, and when they do, and they see that promise of today being vindicated, it renews their faith in the word, because he promised to do it. Here he is doing it. That's all it takes. If God promises something, we see it happen, and it renews our faith, and our faith becomes stronger. And the next time you go to pray, you have more confidence God's going to hear your prayer. And next time something comes up, you say, God took care of that situation. He'll take care of this situation. Amen. And what do? You just stay calm. You stay Mr. Turtle, just calmly walking down the road. So what if the rapture happens before I get there? It can't. If you stay on the path. Now, if you're Mr. Bunny Rabbit and you're running all over the place and getting off the path because you're trying to do something on your own, yes, it can. Then there is no doubt. God speaks his word first. God speaks his word first speaks, and then the spirit that's bringing it does the thing that the word said it would do. It's really that simple. I'm not preaching anything you don't know already. But when God speaks something, if you can have patience and wait for it to come to pass, it is guaranteed. He said, we have a lot of impersonations. We still have a lot of them. Men of sincere heart trying to do things this way and that way. Men of sincere heart trying to do things this way and that way. It becomes an impersonation. Some of you remember back when we were still over in the Pond Community Center, a minister came by, brought some of his church. And he was emphasizing the need for the church to worship. Oh, if the bride would just worship Christ, it will produce the rapture. That's basically what he was saying. We got to get the worship right, and then the rapture will come. Someone else comes and says, you got to preach, you got to believe it this way. Someone else come by and said, you got to believe we're in the millennium already. Someone else comes by and prays, well, you got to believe this about the seven seals, or you got to believe this about the seven seals. You got to believe this, you got to believe that. It's impersonations. That minister, he came by, he had a very charismatic, very powerful gift, and he would get the whole church was worshiping and shouting and dancing. Remember that? Some of you were there. Well, we would have what we would call big time. He went down to a local church, he preached at our place. He went there and he came back, preached later. He came back, preached two services there. He came back. He said that second service, that church was totally free. Then why didn't they stay totally free if they were free? If it was God setting them free, they would remain that way. They didn't. What is it? It's trying to produce something that's not on the path. Trying to get us focused on something else. You got to worship this way. And then if you didn't worship, boy, you are backslid. How about you just be led by the Spirit and worship the way God leads you to worship? Now, I didn't say by the way you feel. I got a suggestion. Don't come to church and worship the way you feel. Why don't you come to church and worship the way God deserves to be worshiped? Sing. Praise God. He's worth it. He's worthy of it. Some folks come to church and they sit there during song service and they don't sing. And I'm thinking, I'm glad there's pillars in the church who will sing for them to create an atmosphere so they can be blessed. Well, I'm tired sometimes. I am too. And so is everybody else. You're trying to focus on worship. I'm trying to focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're telling him, God, I really love you. I'm just not in the mood tonight. Can I just be really flat for a second? Think of that in natural terms. Your husband says, I want to make love to you tonight. Honey said, I'm just not in the mood. I got a headache. You say, you shouldn't be talking like that. I'm telling you the way it is in the spiritual realm, brother and sister. Well, if you know what I've been through today, look, you're not telling me that. You're telling God that. And what you're saying is, God, you could have gave me a better day, but you allowed me to have a bad day. Then you want me to come to church and have a good time with you. Just throw it in God's face. See Satan out there in disguisement? He's trying to say, it's not so. Do you understand it? See, Satan said, oh, that ain't for this day. There is some other time. That doesn't mean that. Satan's what he's doing. He's taking the word and he's mixing something into it. He's mixing something so you get your eye off just the word and onto something else, some kind of impersonation. Well, if I could just have a really good experience one time at the altar, I know I'm good to go. And you come to church and you're looking for a quick fix. Well, Brother Jerry, just get real anointed and pray for me. I know this problem be gone. You're right. But not because Brother Jerry gets a point only to pray for it, because you believe it will be gone. Because God speaks to you. But then when it doesn't happen, you say, well, I guess he wasn't anointed enough. Maybe next time I get to church, if he's anointed enough, I feel like it, I'll get prayed for again. That's not faith. When God puts on your heart to be come up and be prayed for, you come up and be prayed for, and you know God put on your heart to be prayed for, then whatever you are prayed for is done. That's the way it works. Because you didn't come up here on your own emotion. You didn't come up here on your own idea. You didn't come up here just because you felt guilty. You come up here because God said, go up and get prayed for. And then if he had Brother Jerry or me or whoever pray for you, he did not do that in vain. But 3 weeks later, nothing's happening, so we lose our confidence. And that seed that had started to grow dies. Or at least goes dormant. Because we're no longer walking in a seat of faith, in an atmosphere of faith. I got a whole nother half of this message, and I'm debating. I'm not going to do it. I've hold you too long. Maybe next Sunday, Brother Jerry ain't back. That message that Brother Jewel preached, atmosphere, my, that was important. Because all that I'm saying right now, the whole thing is about having the right attitude towards God's word, which creates the right atmosphere, and it lets it grow. But if you're not in the right attitude, the right atmosphere is wrong, and that word will not produce. We'll get into that next time, maybe. Every seed must come forth of its kind. That's how God establishes his Eden. Look, when Jesus spoke the word, he had to have confidence in his own word. God had to have confidence in his own word. You speak it and it happens because it's God's word. When you take God's word in your heart, on your mouth, and you know God is speaking to you, and you say it, you can have confidence it's going to bring forth. I've seen many times back there in the back with Brother Jerry in some kind of counseling session with someone. And I would recognize when Brother Jerry's speaking and the anointing would come and the word of God would speak and it would register. And I know that was God's word to that person. And I can tell you 100% of the time when that person followed that advice, it worked out fine. And 100% of the time when they didn't follow the advice, it didn't work out well. But people don't recognize it. They think, well, that's just Brother Jerry's idea. That's just his opinion. It's the same thing with me. I've been speaking, and I know it's the same thing. Oh, that's just Brother Phil. Let me just give another recommendation. If you don't have confidence That is God going to speak to you. Don't go back to that counseling. Because you're going to be accountable for what's said. Now, I've been in situations where God didn't speak, and I say, hey, I don't know. Brother Jerry might have done the same thing. But usually he'll speak. Don't be held accountable for the word that you're not going to pay attention to. And here it is. That's how God establishes his church. Every word after its kind. Did you hear what he said? That's the way God establishes his church. It's every word after its kind. That's why he said to Peter, he said, on this rock I'll build my church. What is it? Revelation. The word is speaking to you. It's revelation. And that's how God establishes church. It's not that plus emotion. It's not that plus a feeling. It's not that plus anything else. It's just the spoken word. The church says, join the church, recite the creed, know the catechism. There's no such thing in the whole Bible. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. That's the question. Are these signs following you as an individual? Can you find, do you see this in your life? Well, Brother Phil, I don't play with snakes, so I haven't been bit. There's a thousand ways that that can be manifest without being bit by a snake. Like Brother Jewel, he said, he went over that, well, Uganda or some country in Africa. He said, don't drink the water. He said, I can drink anything I want. The Bible says so. He brushed his teeth. He had faith. Now, if you didn't have faith to do that, don't do that because you'll probably get sick. But the word of God spoke to him, and he brought him to the Lord and said, you should drink deadly things, and they won't harm you. He said, I can brush my teeth in anything. So, Brother Phil, I just don't know. I don't know if I see these things in my life. Keep walking. You will. If you're on the path and you're being led by the Spirit, whatever you need is already been, it's ready in you. It's been birthed into you by the new birth. It's going to happen, brother and sister. But if you're looking for some great, mighty, wonderful lightning flashing to confirm it to you, that's not going to happen. That's not a confirmation anyways. Every seed will bring forth of his kind. If you are a seed of God, an attribute, a son of God, then the word of God is sown in you. And then when you hear the word of God, my sheep hear my voice, a stranger they won't follow. You get it? Then every seed comes forth after its own kind. Brother and sister, it's already guaranteed. Let me read this out of Christ as a Mystery. Brother Branham says this, Wesley was a man of God, but what followed him? Fallen angels got into it. What was the angels first? Created beings of God that fell for Lucifer's wisdom. You see what they become? Fallen angels. Organizations for men of God who went forth to establish truth in the earth. Before that truth could go along and proclamate and get on to the real revelation of Christ, fallen angels come in and took it over and made denominations out of it. Every age, and it's happened in this age too, the message came forth and it had to be reestablished. Let me just finish this quote before I start talk. That's the reason the revelation of the seventh seal mystery had to be unfolded. Now you see it, what they left off. If Luther would have went on, it'd have been here. If Wesley would have went on, if Pentecost would have went on, what would they have done? Brother and sister, what happens is the word comes forth for the age and fallen angels get in there and take the message of the hour and twist it around. That's what's happened in this message. That's why you see so many different message churches and believers and believe in all kinds of crazy stuff, because fallen angels have gotten in there instead of allowing the word to go forth and bring forth what it promised. They had to get up and say, well, this is what it means. That's what it means. You got to believe it this way. You got to believe it that way. And how many thousands of message believers have been led astray? They're off the path. They're following Mr. Rabbit running around a bush. Because you can't wait. You can't wait. Well, the rapture is supposed to come already. It's supposed to happen already. Well, aren't you glad it hasn't for all the people who aren't ready for it? Well, it didn't happen in 77, so Brother Branham was wrong. Boop, 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 boop. Off they go. It's supposed to happen in 1984. There they go. It had to happen by 2000. There they go. Reality is, has happened, and we're in the middle of it, and all we're waiting for is the culmination of the rapture, which is the body change. You're already in the rapture. That's why the seven seals had to come to get us right back to the pure word, because the pure word will produce a pure Christ. And that's going to take you in a rapture. Let me read this. If you want to turn in Jude, we're going to read out of Jude a little bit. You don't have to, but it might wake you up, move around a little bit. Jude 1, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend means to fight for it, to strive for it. And this is what Mr. Rabbit does. He says, I'm contending for the faith. I'm going to study. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to all the churches I can. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to know everything Brother Branham said, and I'm going to quote Brother Branham, and I'm going to know everything about it. He thinks he's contending for the faith. All he's doing is getting an education and a religion. That's not how you contend for the faith that was once delivered. How do you contend for it? When God speaks it, you believe that and you confess it no matter what anything else has says, no matter what other anything comes up, no matter what the obstacles are, you only confess what God said. You do not go by how you're feeling. You do not go by the circumstances. You ignore the circumstances and you look at the word. That's how you contend for the faith. Don't matter how you feel. You create an atmosphere of faith. And when you see God do something, you look at that and you recognize and say, that was God. He took care of that situation. He will continue to take care of situations. And you walk in that kind of faith. Paul in the Bible, he said something. He said, I don't want you to grieve, or, you know, the way people are without hope, but I want you to comfort each other with these words. Christ shall descend. There shall be a rapture. This is where your comfort comes from. And this is what you all do. Sometimes I talk to Brother Jim and he gets down. Feeling bad, he's grieving. We get to talking and he says, you know what? But I'm going to see my son again. I'm going to see Tim. That's what I'm talking about. Because if you just want to focus on, boy, this bad, you know, Tim died and this is going on and this church has this problem. If you want to stay there, brother and sister, go ahead. But you're not contending for faith. You're just feeling sorry for yourself. But when you say, I am grieving, I'm having a hard time, but praise God, it's going to be taken care of. Someone is clearing the roadblock up ahead. I'm going through. It don't matter how I feel. And you start confessing that, and you know what it's going to do? It's going to affect everybody else around you too. You start talking faith, and the person beside you starts talking faith, and someone over here starts talking faith, and person starts believing over here, and next thing you know, we're all like, my goodness, we all believe. Look what God is doing in our midst. Why? You're contending for the faith. You're striving, you're believing, because Satan throws every excuse not to believe. He gives every excuse to get dejected. He gives every excuse to get depressed and down and just kind of like lay there and say, I just don't know. You have 1,000 reasons to do that. And you have one reason not to, because Jesus Christ didn't confess that to you. He said, I got you. I'm taking you through. What I started in you, I will finish. So you have his voice against 1,000 demons. Who are you going to believe? Enter to the rest, brother and sister. The rest that says, I believe God's got me all in control. And though Satan brings all kinds of harassment and tries to make me feel bad and I get down and I get discouraged, whatever, I confess what's in my heart. This is, says, I am a believer. I am born again. I'm going to go in the rapture. I'm Mr. Turtle. I'm still walking down this path. He said, for there are certain men crept in unawares, isn't that what Brother Bram just talked about? Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They were ordained to it. Think about it. Look at all the message ministers around who have fallen away. They were ordained to that. Look at all the ones who haven't fallen away but are still preaching false doctrine. They're ordained to it. Just as you're ordained not to be deceived by it. You're ordained to believe it. You're ordained to go in a rapture. They're ordained to lead people astray. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Denying that Jesus Christ is the same today because all they can do is see him in the prophet. Denying the Lord Jesus that they claim they're preaching because they refuse to accept the word made flesh today. And they point people to some other day. They point someone to yesterday. They're unaware. They come as angels of light, deceiving. And they get people to say, you got to believe it this way. Instead of just waiting for God to bring this to pass, they say, you got to believe it this way. You got to hear this voice. You got to do it this way. Deceiving. Destroying your faith. Come up here and get this anointed. Come and get prayed for. Did you feel that? Are you a believer now? You believe what I taught you? Well, you're born again. If you believe it's true, you're born again. No, you're not. You're born again when Jesus Christ reveals himself to you personally. And he is the word for today. Well, Brother Phil, when you got born again, what did it feel like? It didn't feel like anything. I didn't get a feeling with it. Now, sometime you might not, but I didn't get one. And you know what? I didn't like that because I wanted something I could scientifically put my hand on and say, I know it happened then because this is what I felt. And I had so many feelings and so many wonderful anointings and baptism. And what I'm going to do? Well, oh, it was this one, it was that one. No, it was none of it. It was when Jesus Christ spoke to me and revealed himself to me. Yeah. Amen. Now, take that away from me. Because you know what? Those anointings go away. And those emotions and those feelings, we love them, but they go away. But brother and sister, the word of God does not go away. Amen. It stays. It's solid. It's secure. He said, on this rock I'll build my church. That means I am part of his body. I am part of his church because it has been revealed to me who Jesus Christ is. Well, how do you feel about it? Could care less. Amen. Couldn't care less how I feel. I like feeling good, but if I'm not feeling good, it's still the truth. Amen. Oh, when we can go confess that, when we can walk in that, brother and sister. I don't know how people who don't have that get along. I sat there yesterday and I think, here I am. I'm a born-again Christian with Christ in me, and my patience is getting tested. And how do these people without Christ deal with this? I'd have been ready to shoot somebody. Don't tell anyone that because they'll come arrest me. I would have been like irritated. I wasn't irritated yesterday. I just sat there like, this happens. Satan tried to get me irritated. It's like, forget that. How do people get by? A lot of good drugs. Verse 5 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Amen. As long as Moses was up there doing mighty signs and wonders, oh, follow Moses, he's wonderful. Let's take Moses. Moses will take us out of here. As soon as he stops a little bit, what do? Moses lost his ministry. Moses don't have it anymore. God said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt by a mighty hand and take you and put you in Canaan, in the promised land. And they're on the way. And then, we don't have enough to eat. We don't have enough to drink. What else can we complain about? They got through that. They got to the Dead Sea. Moses, you let us out here and kill us. How many people thought that about this church? Brother Jerry comes, and next thing you know, we got all the kinds of problems. We're out here, and the church is going to fade away. Same attitude. We don't even know if we're going to have church anymore. The way this is going, pretty soon there won't have anybody left. Don't look down your nose at those children of Israel. We got some of the same attributes. They got to the Red Sea and said, oh my goodness, here comes the devil against us, and we have no place to go. Brother Jerry led us out here, and the church is going to dwindle away and die. Did it? What happened? God opened the Red Sea through the Moses' ministry. They went across. What did they do on the other side? Boy, they had a camp meeting. They went dancing and shouting and singing, and boy, they had victory in the camp. And a couple weeks later, Moses, we don't have enough to eat. I wish we'd go back to Egypt. Don't look too far down your nose when we do the same kind of thing. Look what God has done in your life. Look what he's done for you. And then something comes up, we get all down and dejected and demoralized and doubtful and wondering what's going on around here. Human beings are going to be human beings, folks. That's why you have a new birth. Because you're no longer just a human being. Now you're a superhuman being. You're a super race. God expects us to behave like a super race. He does. He says, why are you talking like the rest of these humans around here? You are a God man. You are a God woman. You have literally gene of God in you. You've been birthed to a whole different race. Stop acting like these people of darkness. You're children of light. Saved them out of Egypt. Couldn't take them to the promised land. Why? Because deceiving ministers robbed them of faith because they said, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to try this, you got to try that. All you have to do is simply wait for God to get it done. Rapture ain't happened yet. Brother Brandon was wrong. You couldn't wait. So you got to prop some ministries with minors, gifts, healings, supernatural things. All those are important. All those are necessary. But that's not what you prop a ministry up with. The ministry doesn't need to be propped up if it's preaching the word. What are you trying to accumulate people? What are you trying to attract people to your church with? I remember a long, long time ago, we were over in the pond, and we were looking to buy a church. And our pastor at the time said, we need to have it out there by where 96 and 40 kind of intersect out in there. We got to have it out there because it'll attract people from Nashville. And I wasn't born again. I didn't know nothing about it. But I thought, if they're not willing to come to Dixon, why would you want them if it just make it easier so they can come out there? Because they're not coming for the right reason. Because if they really want Christ, they'll go across the country if you have to get him. What are you attracting them with? You know why people are attracted here? Because we're all so pretty. Well, we'd have a problem, wouldn't we? Now, some of you are pretty, don't get me wrong. It's because of our social programs, right? It's because Brother Jerry preaches such sweet, kind, loving sermons. What is the attraction that brings you back? You have to answer that for yourself. Well, because my family goes here. Better get born again. God is good, isn't he? I'm going to finish the story of the tortoise and the hare. You know what happens? Mr. Turtle, he's getting real close to the end, the finish line. He looks over at Mr. Rabbit. He says, Mr. Rabbit, you really need to get your life together. He said, oh, I'm in church. If I'm going to be saved, God's going to have to save me. But Mr. Turtle says, but Mr. Rabbit, you're not even in the race. You need to get onto the track. You need to get on the path. Mr. Rabbit says, you're just too slow. I can get it in the last minute. I'm fast. And then he starts seeing changes in Mr. Turtle that he never seen before. He starts seeing faith he never saw before. He starts seeing the manifestation of the word he never saw before. And it starts really bothering him. He said, I got to get back on the path. So he tried to jump on. He said, no, you can't get on here. You need to go all the way back. And he sprints back there. It doesn't take long. It just takes repentance. And the next thing you know, he's back in the path. But Mr. Turtle's way up ahead. He's trying to catch up. And Mr. Slow Turtle crosses the line. And Mr. Rabbit says, I'm almost there. He said, but it looks like the race is over. I'm in tribulation period. And a little voice speaks and says, the rapture's gone and you missed it. Please don't be that person. You know what happened to Mr. Turtle? He crosses the line. He gets a body change. He becomes Super Ninja Turtle. He flies off into the sky. Living for eternally, forevermore. No more pain. No sorrow. No grieving. All is peace and rest forevermore. That's why we're here, brother and sister. All God wants to tell you this morning is, I promised you something. Will you believe it? I promised you something. And God has spoken to every one of you who's over the age of 12 or whatever age. He's promised every one of you something. He's spoken to every one of you sometime. Maybe not this morning, but sometime in your life. He's spoken to you. And he's saying, will you just believe that? Because when you believe it, you create an atmosphere where I can bring it to pass. Confess it with your mouth. That's why it's, you know, people say, well, I believe, you know, they take that, you know, like the Baptists and different ones, they say, well, if you confess with your mouth, you're saved. So I believe Jesus is the Son of God, I'm saved. It also says believe from your heart, which means it's been revealed to your heart. It's not just up here in your head. But the messy believers say, yeah, it's got to be from your heart, so it doesn't matter what you say with your mouth. Oh, yes, it does, because what you say out of your mouth is what's creating an atmosphere. Let me just go back and revisit that. We're going to quit. Go ahead and stand. When Paul got bit by that snake, if he would have created an atmosphere of fear and doubt, he would have died. How many times when something goes wrong in our life, do we immediately create an atmosphere of fear and doubt? Last week, Sister Susie making dinner, and she burned the potatoes. Have you ever eaten burned potatoes? They're nasty. And Brother Paul said, are you kidding me again? It didn't happen. I'm making this up as a story, as a parable, right? Sister Susie would never burn potatoes. She burns green. She don't like green beans. She burns the green beans. And Paul's attitude was, oh, come on, not again. What does it do? Immediately you create an atmosphere for condemnation, for unbelief, for doubt, for whatever it is. And Satan comes and he feeds on that atmosphere. And the next thing you know, you got 1,000 demons just hammering your mind, trying to keep that atmosphere going. Because, see, Brother Paul has never done anything wrong in his life, so he has a right to hold a grudge against her. Isn't that the way we are? Someone does something, and right away we want to blame them, we want to hold them accountable, we want to do what, I believe in holding accountable, but not in the wrong attitude. But Brother says we want to make them feel bad because you hurt me. This is my dinner, and I don't want to get to enjoy it because of what you did. We create atmospheres where Satan thrives, and that seed of God goes dormant. That's what we'll speak about next time, Lord willing. God bless you. God bless you for coming and listening. I was expecting Brother Jerry to be here today. It didn't happen. I don't think he'll be here next Sunday. I'm not sure yet. But I am going to Memphis after work, after church today, so we will not have church Thursday night. I won't be back till Friday. Unless one of you wants to jump up and take the service. I need volunteers. I would love to see that, but you got to be called, of course. God bless you. I loved you, you people. You're the cream of the crop. You're wonderful people. We're gonna live together in eternity someday, so you might as well start getting along now.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, for you to come and be real to us again this morning. And you take your word and you break it down to each individual person right where they're at. And Lord, we know then that it's you. A man can't get up here and make it work like that. A man can't get up and say the right things. But Lord Jesus, when you take the word and you make it personal to each person, we know that's the voice of God. Lord, we're so grateful for that. We ask that you would bless us now, Lord. Bless this, the song service now a little bit as we worship you. Create an atmosphere where that seed can take good root, where the seed can start coming forth, Lord, where you can have your way. We ask this in your name. Amen. Let me just throw one more thing in there. I'm trying to quit. When you plant a seed, you put it in the right soil, leave it alone. You go out and plant your garden, you go out 2 days later, you look around, well, there's nothing out here. Did I really plant the seed? And you go digging it up. Where is that seed at? Where is that seed? What's going to happen? Going to kill it. When you know that the seed has been planted, you don't go down and looking for, well, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? You're destroying the atmosphere. Plant the seed and let it go and just thank God and water the seed. You don't even see it. Water where you planted it. You water the earth around it. Keep that earth in the right atmosphere. And one day it'll come forth. And some seeds grow slower than others. We got to quit. God bless you.
Assuming he's got it on control. Yes.
He's got it all.
I want.